Okay, we're gonna pick up with in tonight's study, and tonight's study is 190 that we started back about April. It might have been March or April in either 19 or 2020 with Jack's Workman's Interlinear, because he sent me a book. He sent me one of his books early on after he finished them. And, you know, they were printed and copyrighted in, what, 2003, I think? Let me look back and see here. Yeah. So he had these things ready, and I think he may have redone them a little bit because of the bindings on some of the other books wasn't holding up. And, my wife passed away in 2017, and when he heard it, he called me up and he said, "Cecil," Jack did, he said, "Cecil, I'm not gonna buy any flowers." But he said, "I tell you what I will do." He said, "I'm gonna send you two more of my books," and said, "You make sure that whoever gets them will take time to sit down and go through them." And I said, "Okay, I'll do that, Jack." So he did it, and I did it. So here we are. So we're going to back to verse 8 of Timothy 1, and we're going to do like we always do. We're going to read it out of the King James, and then I'll read you my notes that I've done a week or so ago, or maybe 2 weeks ago. And then we'll start looking at what Jack did and hit with his notes, and to bring it out of the Koine Greek down to the English, and then to look at what he wanted us to look at through scripture verses. And that's been a great way we did it. And it really, really, really helped a lot in understanding. So having said that, we'll just go ahead and get ready and start. Verse 8, King James, it says, okay, let me switch book here. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord," and Paul says, "nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now this of course is Timothy talking to Paul, written to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. And this is, and I'm pretty well assured that Paul knows that this is going to be his last writing. So what he says toward the end of the letter, because we can call it a letter, if you will, he's ready to be poured out. It's just like fine wine going to be used up. So he understood that he was being used up by the Lord, because to be a prisoner of the Lord, when he's done with you, I guess he's done. So that's the only way I can look at this, because it says, "Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me, his prisoner." And certainly, this prisoner thing is an act of love rather than an act of, I guess you could call it duty, because this was what he was chosen to do. It's kind of like us when we look back and we think on these things. Well, why are we here and what are we doing? And I took the conference this time as well as a lot of the others did, and thinking back, well, you know, we've all got a testimony. And it thrilled me to sit there and listen to the different subjects that they brought out of the testimony that the Word gives us for our understanding and edification. But I found out that there was one there that had about the same situation I had. And maybe that was the reason I changed what I was going to say. And I'll just leave that as that. Okay. 1 Timothy 8 in my notes. Let me get my notes back up here. I have my notes out to begin with. And I wrote this. Be not umi. In the Greek. Umi, be not. This is expressing conditional negation depending upon feeling or of some idea that we call conception or hypothesis. So he leaves off with, or starts off with expressing a conditional negation because of the feeling that Paul has for young Timothy. He says, "Thou Timothy, therefore, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or us, nor of me, Paul, or who I am, his, or well, let's just say the Lord's prisoner, full stop." He says, "But be thou a partaker of the afflictions." And I look at it this way, suffer with me that evil, Timothy, of the gospel. And the evil did not come from the gospel, but the evil come from those who will not agree with what was being taught or said at that time. Said the exact meaning of the English words does not matter. The Greek word evangelon means good news and glad tidings, which may concern various and different subjects and messages. And this is according to the power of God, because this is what it is and how it's used. And I've often said and still do that generally when you look at something and you look at it in a deeply enough, you're going to have to go to three or four places to get it. And this is the reason why Jack asked us to look at all these verses of scripture that we run upon sometime. But I'll just go down and read you the Koine Greek, the same verse. Here it says this, brought down into English. And it says, through which cause I remind you. Nope, that's the wrong verse. I'm sorry. Not therefore you should be ashamed. The testimony of the Lord. Of us nor me, the prisoner of him, but rather suffer evils along with the good message, it comes according to the power of God. So, that's what verse 8 comes down to in that situation. And then down to the more modern English, it says, "You should not therefore be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but rather suffer evil along with the good message according to the power of God." And then Jack's notes are this. It says, "We are reminded of those who could not follow Christ to the cross. Certainly we can revel in his love and his might, but could we stay with him 1 hour? Paul saw many who were embarrassed to follow him in his ignominy. He knew firsthand those who left him from Asia. How many count success by counting heads? True followers will not be enticed to follow Christ through the rudiments of the world. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the true assembly or the true church." And then there's 5 places that Jack wants us to look at this verse of scripture. Okay, so we're going to go back and we're going to do that. And we're going to start off with the first one is in Luke 9:24-26. That's on page 1460. Luke 9. Okay, let me get back over here to Luke. And I may have changed some of my markers in my Bible a little bit. Okay, 9:24. No, it's here. I just take me a minute to get to it. My old hands ain't working too good after sawing logs all day. 9:24-26. Let's just back up to 23. "And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." So here he's giving you a warning somewhat that not to be ashamed, but to carry on the word of truth. Let's look at 26 too. It says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words of him shall be the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Oh man. So we dare not be ashamed, but we speak when we have the opportunity. That is for sure and for certain. Okay, the next one is in Ephesians 3:1. Ephesians 3:1. Let me get back over to Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians 3:1. And we're going to look at I guess it's just the first chapter of 3:1. There's two places there that Jack wanted us to look at, but Ephesians 3:1 is one of them. It says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Okay, and that is bearing down on the prisoner thing that Paul talks about, of me, his prisoner. Okay, and then let's look at 4, Ephesians 4:1, and that's on page 1765, and he does it again, because Ephesians is bearing down upon the fact that if you've been chosen and called for something, then it should become your main theme in your life. And I think, you know, thinking about the word prisoner, but that's about as deep as it can get if you've been called and chosen for something, and you need to put all you have into it. And a lot of people seem like they don't want to get that deep, but that it should be something that we have it on our mind continually. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewithin you're called, with all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring or studying to keep the unity of the oneness of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And certainly, that was Paul's concern, and he was certainly did that as long as he was here on this earth. And then the next one is 1 Timothy 2. 1 Timothy 2. Okay. I'm gonna have to change Bibles where I want to or not. 1 Timothy 2:6.
Maybe one with thicker pages.
Oh, these pages just get to where they don't work for me. Really good. Okay. Page 1802. 1 Timothy 2:6 says this. Well, let's go back to 4. It says, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man. Man is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. And he says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." Okay. The next one is uh On page 1821, I guess that's Philemon. In Philemon, the little book of Philemon. On page 1821, we're going to look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, "Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such as one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." So a great part of Paul's testimony comes to us as the fact that he was a prisoner for Christ Jesus. And whatever it was that he needed to do or have laid upon him or on his heart, he done it. Just like if he was a bond servant. He was a bond servant to Christ, really. Although he wasn't bound, a lot of times he was, but
not by Christ physically.
Yeah, but he was a servant to Christ just as if he owed him his life, which he did. He really did. I understand that. And I get that. But sometimes, you know, we take it a little bit for granted because he's, all things are his and we just here using them. And, so this is another aspect of the Apostle Paul here, and he's in the situation now of wanting to see this young man, Timothy. Want Timothy to get there and come to him, and he wants to be with him and have a little remembrance before he leaves there, before he leaves here, or before he gets poured out, so to speak. So let's go back to 2 Timothy verse 9, where it says this. Talking about the gospel according to the power of God, he says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling." And there's a little part in this verse of scripture that sometimes when we just read it, we never notice what it really says. But he says, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works." Well, you see, when God chose Abraham, and he says, "From you, I'm going to make this nation as the sands of the sea and the stars in the sky." And he gave them the law, and the law was to point them toward the one that he had mentioned many times in scripture that was going to come and take care of the problems that they had concerning sin. Because you see, when he hung on the cross, and Brother Jack Everly and I talked about this at one time at a little length. And he put enmity in early in the first two or three chapters of Genesis that he got man involved He had to get man involved because man got involved with Satan. And so I think in pity, he had pity for us that he did that, but he had to do that in order to show the world the difference between what he had to give and what Satan was wanting to do. Great contrast, isn't it? His was truth and understanding. And Satan was wanted to take control. I will. You remember the five I wills in Scripture. Because he had already come to that situation there before, you know, I think before Adam ever showed up, or they made Adam. But see, Satan was in the garden, so enmity was put between the seeds because of the situation that happened there. We'll just let it be that. But, and so sin was being dealt with because God cursed Satan and God cursed Eve. But he didn't curse Adam. He didn't put a curse on Adam, but he cursed the land and the things that Adam would have to get from the earth to live on this stuff. And he didn't give Adam no place to live. They were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. But you see, when Christ hung on the cross, and he took the sins of this world upon himself, he reconciled that part of it back to himself through the blood that he was going to shed and the breath that he was going to give up on the cross. And he was going to be like the young man that was sent down to Nineveh. He was not going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a fish, but he was going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth.
Amen.
Okay. Having this said and having that understanding there, well, you see, what Paul is teaching and preaching now is no longer just by works, but it's by the faith of God. It's by the faith. And he made it so as that the Holy Spirit could live within a person rather than being with or on, upon. And it took me quite a little time in my Christian life, so to speak, as to get this understanding down into realizing that that was one of the big things that was done that we could not do for ourselves. We just couldn't do it for ourselves. We had no way of doing it. But upon the cross, when that blood was shed and it hit the ground, and when he carried it back into the Holy of Holies and gave it there, then the price was paid in full for our sins. Now, we still realize that we live in a sinful world. But we also realize that we can have association with the Godhead through the Holy Spirit, without having to be cleansed by fire or other sources that God used to clean up, or when he come into contact with men. You know, I think about Moses in the bush that was burning, but it wasn't being burned up. It was just burning because the place that they were, God says, was holy ground. It was now wherever he was at there in that area, it was without sin. Same thing happened with Mary. When the archangel brought that single cell individual and put it in the womb of Mary, Mary was clean of her sins, because God cannot live where sin is. And so there has to be a parting there that we sometimes don't really understand. But you see, again, in verse 9 it says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So you see, it was deemed that we would be made clean even before any of us was ever made, even Adam. But that was the contract, if you want to call it a contract, made between God the Father and God the Son, which showed up a lot of times as Jehovah. Okay? So that's what it says in verse 9. Okay, let me get my notes up here. And we may have time to do this. Okay, verse 9 says this, that I wrote in my notes. The Lord is who we have here, who hath saved us. And you could leave out the half there. This was Christ Jesus. And he called us by choosing, that we call or is called a holy calling. And it's not according to our works in this age, in this dispensation. But works needs to follow it. This was or would be according to the law, which is no more. If you were going to try to follow the law is finished, just like sin is finished. Because the law was put here to lead these people that had the faith of Abraham and was of that part of the restoration, at one time, that was what they were given to do. The law is no more. It was just like the sin is no more. When Christ came and took it away, it's no more. And the law is no more because it was to lead people to Christ. And they didn't want to hear that. But according to his own purpose, which was now the grace of God, and that grace which was given us in Christ Jesus was given before the world began, before the age of time. You see, when God parted the waters and he brought the earth up, he started establishing all this, and he already had it laid out what he was going to do. And time was made for man. It wasn't made for God. in that sense. But God does use it to reconcile things in accordance to His plan and purpose for the ages. If you don't believe it, go to the back of the appendices and look at the plan and purpose for the ages of God. It's laid out in a, to tell you how it's going to be, how it's supposed to go. Okay. Boy, there's lots of stuff that goes with this now. And, let me read the notes in verse 9. It says this: Who saved us and called us with a holy calling. This is how the Koine Greek, not according to the work of us, but rather according to His own purpose and grace, which given us in Christ Jesus before of times of ages. And on down to the more modern English, it says, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but rather according to His own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ Jesus before ages of time. And Jack says, God saves us. Our works were not involved in His salvation. We were saved through a holy calling. His calling was not just a calling to salvation, but to the part in God's plan which He wanted us to serve. Those who learn and understand these things are the happiest of all people. The purpose of God transcends all other goals and plans of life. Amen. Not only did God have the plan, but He provides the grace to the subject to enable him to carry out his portion in this plan of the ages. This whole structure was given us in Christ Jesus before age of time, before the clock was set off in Genesis 1:14. These things were established in the plan of God. Notice the prominent place of grace. And so, having said that, Jack, give us a bunch of stuff to look at, and let's look at them. Okay, we're going to go back, and we're going to look at Acts 11, 22, and 23 on 1606. Acts 11, I can find John 11 good, but not, maybe not so much of this other, but we'll get there. Here we go. Acts 11:16-06, and we're going to look at 22 and 23 said this: Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. So that's what we have in Acts 11. Okay. The next one is Romans. There's four places in Romans, but we're going to start in Romans 8, okay? The first one is in Romans 8. And probably that, this one. Yeah, in Romans 8, we're going to look at 28, 29, and 30 of Romans 8. And this is on page 1679. Romans 8, 28. Yeah. And I've got this on a plaque in my house thanks to Ronnie's work, because my grandmother had it in her house when I was growing up and we were reading scripture together. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. That's Romans 8, 28 through 30. Okay, let's go to 9, 9. And look at verse, chapter 9 and verse 9 through 11. And this is on page 1861. 9 through 11 of Romans 9. Says, for this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither had done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. And there's a parenthetical insertion there in 11. So you see, because it was talking about something that was to happen, it did happen, and it was according to the plan and purpose of God. Okay? Then we go to chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, Jack says, look at verses 3 to 6 on page 1686. 3 to 6, chapter 12, on page 1686, if you have a companion Bible. He says, for I say, through the grace of God unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so being many are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And it goes on to talk about the other gifts that differ there. But this is what Jack wanted us to see in 12. Okay, one more place in Romans. Turn with me to 15:3. Just a couple of pages over. Chapter 15. And we're going to look at 3. Let me catch up to where. We're going to look at 3 to 6 there. It says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproach of them that reproaches thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Christ Jesus. Okay, so that concludes the Romans part of this thing. Okay. And now we're going to Corinthians 1. And I assume it's 1 Corinthians. On page 1696. So that's not but just a few pages over too. Okay, yeah, it is. 1 Corinthians. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1:9. It says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, we're going to look at 6 and 7, so you can turn another page if you have a companion Bible. In chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 6 and verse 7. It's on page 1699. It says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Okay. We're going to go to the next page, to 3:10. And we're going to look at 3:10 on page 1700. 3:10 says this, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay, 1 Corinthians 3:10. We're going next to chapter 7, verse 20, on page 1707. So just turn two or three pages to 1707. And we're going to look at 7th chapter and the 20th verse. It says this, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Okay. Let's see. 3:10, 7:20. Okay, the next one is in Galatians 1. So you can skip over 2 Corinthians and go to Galatians 1. And we're going to look at Galatians 1. We're going to look at 6 and 7. That's on page 1749. Chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And Paul says this, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Okay. So that's what Jack wanted us to see in Galatians. We go from Galatians to Ephesians. And we're going to go to Ephesians 3. And in Ephesians 3, we're going to look at 8 and 9. That's on 1764. And we're going to look at 3, 8, and 9. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world or in ages past hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Okay. While we're here, let's look at 4:1. It's on the next page if you have a companion Bible. 1765. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you," and I think we've read it already, "that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." You know, there's two ways you can walk in this old world. You can walk in your own way, or you can walk in the way that God would have you to go. Now, in the Old Testament, there was two words for it. Yolak and Halak. I can't remember which was which. But, you know, you can go back to a concordance and get that. But you can go the way that God wants you to go. And that's the reason the Holy Spirit is living within us. Because He is the direction. He is the person with the map for your life. And He knows where you should go and how to go. And sometimes we want to vary a little bit because the old man gets involved in all this, you know. Okay, but that's another story for another time. We're going to look at, turn the page again, and we're going to look at Ephesians 4, and we're going to look at verse 7. No, I guess we got it on that same page. I'm sorry. Yeah. We did one. We've done it twice, so that ought to be in our mind. But let's look at verse 7. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Because the gift of Christ can give you different measures of God's gift. And I had a whole big thing lined up to do of the gift of God, and I put it off. I went to something else. Because we know, as a group, like we were there over the weekend, we know that all this was to edify the body of Christ. But a lot of times when you go out the door and you get involved in trying to give somebody a testimony about Christ, then you have to kind of get down on His level in order for it to get anywhere with Him to a point. But to show the difference in that. So that's how I see all this working out, because We edify each other by getting together and talking about these things that each of us has been involved with in some way or another, shape, form, or fashion. Okay. I've run out of time, or just about out of time right now. Okay. Out of Ephesians, we're going to go to the first 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2:11-12. That's on page 1789. And it says this, as you know, and we've gone back now a dispensation, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doeth his child, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. Okay. And then go with me to 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look there in 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to look at what Paul had wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1 through 9. We're just about done. And it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the church of God, for your patience and faith, in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer, seeing it is righteous thing that God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Verse 8, next page. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Verses 1 through 9. Okay. Turn with me to Titus. And Titus is just after 2 Timothy. And we're going to look at Titus 1, 2. One verse. He says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Titus 1, 2, page 18, 16. And I got one more and we'll close. And that's in 1 Peter 1, 18, 20. 1 Peter 1. 18 through 20, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by traditions from your father. But, think about what I just read, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He showed up. He showed up. He was put in the womb of Mary in 4 BC. And he stayed there until he stayed in this world till he was 30 years of age. And he preached for 3 years and he was 33 years old when they put him on the cross and he gave his blood. And he was with them for 40 days in Jerusalem. And he said, stay here till the Comforter comes. I'm going to send him. And he did. And so that we have in Holy Writ. And that is something that we can live and die on because it is His words and that we have His word as our hope. And that hope will be just like He says. It will take place. Amen. Thank you for being with us tonight. I was kind of dragging around a little bit, but I should have quit work a little earlier and I did and got a little more rest. But that's all right. I thank you for the privilege and the opportunity. And I hope I can serve the Lord as long as He'll allow me to be here on this earth. God bless, folks.